Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, hello and welcome to the show today. In our study of the book of Acts, we have been looking at one of the great persecutors of the early church, a man by the name of Saul. And in our passage last week, you'll remember that Saul has just met Jesus on the road to Damascus, where he was seeking to further his persecution of Christianity. And yet it's on that very road that he encountered Jesus. And that encounter, it marked the greatest turning point of his life. As being struck blind, he was commanded to go into Damascus and wait further instructions. And so he does, staying with a man named Judas. And Jesus then appears to a Christian named Ananias and tells him to go and minister to Saul, to lay hands on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias is obviously, terrified, fearing Saul and all that he's heard. But he goes. And it says, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized." You know, I recently watched quite a number of videos on YouTube of colorblind people receiving a very special gift. Because of modern technology, special glasses that appear just like ordinary sunglasses have been developed that actually correct colorblindness. And so these people in the videos, who often received these glasses from friends or loved ones, they're very expensive, they would open up that special box, often not knowing what they were, and seeing these ordinary-looking glasses, they would prepare to put them on. And I remember one old tough guy, in particular, kind of shrugging the gift off, saying, "Guys, I've gone 70-plus years without seeing color, and I don't really care whether or not I see it now. This means way more to you guys than it does to me," he said. And he said he certainly wasn't going to get emotional or anything like that, like any of the other people he had heard of. He said, "I'm a bodybuilder. I'm tough." And then, kind of shrugging to himself, he put the glasses on. And after a few seconds, he began to look around. And suddenly you could see this emotion welling up in him, even with the glasses on, and he began weeping. He could not believe how beautiful the world was. Up until this point, all he had seen were different shades of gray. Can you imagine seeing color for the first time? Now this guy, he kept crying because he could not believe what he had been missing. And he went over to his wife and he thanked his wife through tears for the gift that she had given to him. You know, that was only one of the many videos that I watched. I saw a young man on his wedding day receive these glasses from his fiance, and he got to see her in color for the first time. I saw a mother get to see her two children in color for the first time. Another woman had just gotten the glasses and had a picture of her daughter ready so that the first thing that she would experience would be the color of her daughter's eyes. And she was expecting kind of a neat experience. But when she saw her daughter's eyes for the first time, she suddenly had a hard time seeing through all the tears. Imagine what it would be like to have your whole view of the world changed in one single instant. Well, for Saul, that was very much what it was like. When the scales fell from Saul's eyes in these moments, it was more than just physical blindness that went away. No, Saul was awakened to a whole new way of seeing life. And that was seeing it through the lens of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, Saul met and continued in fellowship with the very God whom he had loved and worshipped. And from that time onwards, his fellowship with God would never be the same. You know, it's interesting how Ananias comes to Saul after 3 days of blindness. You see, God has a sense of humor. The sign of Jonah was 3 days in the belly of a fish. Jesus spent 3 days in the belly of the earth. And here, because Saul rejected the gospel of Jesus, God put Saul right in the tomb where Jesus had been, so to speak. He had to endure 3 days of death before he could experience a personal resurrection, his own personal new beginning. And just like a humble person in mourning, he had not eaten or drunk for the entirety of those 3 days. But now that he has been given the Holy Spirit, it's time for him to eat and drink. It says, "So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus." Now, I can't imagine what that must have been like. I mean, here Saul is in the midst of the very people that he has been persecuting. And he's not in the position of instructor, teacher, rabbi, which he probably would have put himself in only a short time prior. No, he's the student. He's learning all about the life and ministry of Jesus. Now, that's pretty incredible when you think about it. I mean, these ordinary Christians are discipling the great Saul of Tarsus, student of the great Rabbi Gamaliel. And you know, that just goes to show that it doesn't matter who you're talking to, how smart they are, what their pedigree is. If that person doesn't know Jesus Christ, you have something to offer to them. Actually, you have everything to offer to them. Even if you might feel small in comparison by worldly standards. I mean, think of Ananias. The one to whom God sent to Saul. He was one of the Christians that we would probably never consider to be extraordinary, probably because we know so little about him. And yet God used him in an amazing way to influence Saul. And Saul, of course, became one of the most significant figures in all of world history, which is something even secular historians admit. Now, we don't know much about this Ananias. But you know, that may be the point. There are always those Ananias-type people who are behind the scenes, quietly being used of God to move his kingdom forward. On April 21st, 1855, a man by the name of Edward Kimball, he led one of the young men in his Sunday school to faith in Christ. And little did he realize that that young man, Dwight L. Moody, would one day become the world's leading evangelist. The ministry of Norman B. Harrison, in an obscure Bible conference, he was used of God to bring Theodore Epp to faith in Christ. And God used Theodore Epp to build the Back to the Bible ministry around the world. You see, the Ananiases of the world can have a great impact. And so maybe we need to cultivate the habit, the practice of asking God on a regular basis, "God, I know I'm not great, but who can I influence for you today? Even if it's just one person, Lord, help me to find a way to be that influence." And be prepared to respond, because if you mean that with sincerity, God will lead people into your life. And who knows, the quietest word, the smallest nudge on your part might just be that nudge that ends up forever changing the course of human history. Now, Saul's eyes have just been opened, but the spiritual opening of Saul's eyes, it wasn't finished when he left Ananias. No, they continued to be opened day by day as he dwelt with the disciples in Damascus and had poured into his life the message of Jesus Christ. Now, anybody who truly meets Jesus cannot be quiet about it. And so look at what it says. It says in verse 20, "Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." Now, take a guess. How many times do you think that Jesus is referred to in the book of Acts as the Son of God? I asked somebody this just recently, and they replied, I don't know, 100? And you might think so. But you know, that's not even close. It may surprise you, but interestingly, this is the only place in the book of Acts where Jesus is called by the title Son of God. And it's so interesting how the one person who uses it in this book is a Jew who is zealous for the name of the Lord. A Jew who would have been the most reluctant to use that title out of fear of blasphemy. But it's a title that Saul uses at least 15 times in and throughout his epistles. Now, that was a shock to everyone who heard him, that Saul would claim a divine title for one he had up until that time persecuted. And that's why it says in verses 21 to 22, "Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ." Now, Saul was proving that Jesus is the Christ in two ways. First and foremost, he's connecting the dots for people. He's helping them to see that the Jesus that they crucified matched the identity of the Messiah who is prophesied about in the Old Testament. He knew Scripture already like the back of his hand. He no doubt could quote the entire Old Testament by memory, which was pretty standard for any highly educated Jewish man. But there was also another way that Saul was proving that Jesus is the Christ, and that was by his own conversion. And I don't think we fully grasp how absolutely unbelievable this was. There was no less likely convert in all of history. And you know, that's why the conversion of Saul stands as one of the strongest testimonies to the truth of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Because it doesn't come from somebody who wished that Jesus would rise. It came from one who was glad that Jesus was dead and wouldn't have it any other way. Yet not only did the desire of his heart change, not only did he himself become a Christian, but he, like many of those early Christians, he was willing to undergo some of the most intense persecution, torture, and even death for what he believed. Some of which we see right here, right at the outset of his ministry. Why is he willing to go through all of this? Well, it wasn't because he believed in some merely religious idea that Christianity was true. No, it was because he had seen Jesus. He himself had encountered the resurrected Lord. And when doubters arose amidst his path, all he had to do was point them towards his own personal testimony and say, hey, just look at the difference that Jesus has made in my life, where I was then and where I am now. You cannot explain it any other way than that I encountered the resurrected Lord, the Messiah, this Jesus of Nazareth. And you know what? The greatest testimony that you and I will ever bear is that testimony born by the change that God has brought about in our lives, where we were then and where we are now, because people can see it with their own eyes. In us, the world encounters the resurrected Lord. And so this week, let people encounter Christ in you. Live for Him and let His Holy Spirit also work in and through you. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org. or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.